Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. This is our seventh study in the book of Joshua. We, of course, are going through this book verse by verse as we are going through the whole Bible verse by verse. And today we come to chapter 7, verse 16. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to read in Jesus' name. Well, Israel entered the Holy Land. The first city that they conquered was Jericho. God gave them a very easy victory over Jericho. And last time we saw, they went after the second city, a little place by the name of Ai. Well, they got whooped. And the nation Israel is in shock. They don't know what happened. And they don't know what happened to God. And so their leader, Joshua, he's praying. Verse 10, we'll begin reading. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow,' because thus says the Lord God of Israel, 'There is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before the enemies, or your enemies, until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." Now, beginning in verse 16. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Each tribe is represented in some way. Don't know how. But then God made it known that the guilty person was from the tribe of Judah. And that, of course, meant that the other 11 tribes were off the hook. In verse 17, it says, "He brought the clan of Judah and took the family of the Zerahites. And he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken." Well, it was a long process, but God continued to eliminate the people until he got it down to just one man, and that is Achan. Someone says, "Well, why did God go through this process? I don't get it. Since he knew who the perpetrator was, why didn't he just expose him right away? And just forget about the process. Why go through this long, drawn out thing?" Well, I believe he did it that way to give Achan the chance to repent and to confess before it was too late. You know, God does not look for ways to condemn people. God looks for ways to save people. And that's what he was doing right here. Bible says that God says, make friends with your adversary before he takes you to court and you lose everything. In other words, what that means is get right with God before judgment is pronounced and there is no hope. Achan continued to hide his sin right up until the last minute, actually. Notice verse 19. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Well, I think everybody pretty much knew, you know, what Achan had done. He had sinned. There's no doubt about that. Achan will die. There's no doubt about that either. Joshua knows that he will die. Achan's physical life is lost. But maybe, just maybe, he can salvage his immortal soul. That's why, in a very kind way, Joshua urges Achan to confess his sin. Wants him to confess his sin while he still can. God will forgive if people will only humble themselves and confess. Verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. Well, it took a lot of pressure before Achan finally cried uncle and confessed his sin. But at least he confessed. Some sinners never reach the breaking point. They go to their grave with sin on their soul. 21. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. Well, a lot of good that stuff did him. He couldn't enjoy any of the things that he stole because they were stolen, and he had to keep them all hidden. And according to verse 21, this whole thing started when he began to covet those items. Sin always begins with wrong desires, and that is the best place to cut it off also. In the desire stage, because sinful desire is like a snowball rolling down a mountain. The longer you let it go on, the more powerful it becomes. 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in the tent with the silver under it. Boy, you sin at the cost of your life, and then you bury the thing that you sinned to get. How stupid is that? Sin, of course, is never worth the price. Never. This incident, though, really illustrates it very well. 23. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. They laid out all the stolen goods before the Lord. And spreading all those things out before God was a way of saying, God, you were right. Sin had been committed. Here's the evidence. Very important to God. See, God is just. He presents the evidence before he punishes. That's why he's going to go through the process of the process of judgment and the process of justice on judgment day, on the last day. I mean, he already knows who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, but he's going to lay out the evidence because he is a God of justice. 24. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. They brought them to the valley of Achor, his sons and daughters went along, not to be stoned, unless, of course, they conspired with him in his sin, but they went along at least to see the end of their father. They will watch what happens to sinners, lest they be tempted to follow in their father's footsteps. 25, and Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. God had warned Israel that the consequences of sin would affect the entire nation. And sure enough, it certainly did. No doubt about that. Achan's sin led to the death of 36 Israelite soldiers. And he probably didn't mean for them to die, but they died. And it was his fault. His blatant sin resulted in their death. He is guilty. And he is executed. 26, then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. The Lord turned from his hot anger, but not until the sinner was punished. God is not mean. But you know what? He is just. And God is as just as he's as just as he is loving. And that's why he could not bless until his justice was satisfied. That sinner had to be punished. And now God is free to bless again. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." Now I suppose Joshua, the leader, was just a little bit nervous about sending more Israeli soldiers up to Ai after they got whipped the first time. But God appears to him and says, "Don't be afraid." Immediately after the execution of Achan, because God's justice was satisfied, God assures Joshua that he doesn't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid either when we confess our sins. It's because God does not hold a grudge. Thank goodness. God does not hold a grudge. Thank goodness. Thank God that he doesn't hold a grudge. Verse 2, "And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it." What an unbelievable waste. You know, Achan got in trouble because he took things from Jericho after God said, "Israel, don't take anything." And then notice here, God says, "After you defeat Ai, or Ie, you may take whatever you like." Now think about that. If Achan had only waited to do things God's way, rather than trying to force things, the Lord would have blessed him. In his time, in his way, he would have blessed him. 3. So Joshua arose, and all the people of war, to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Joshua took the entire army as God commanded, but out of that army he picked some of its toughest fighters, and he's going to set an ambush in back of the city, just as God commanded. 4. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready." They have to stay close to the city because they're going to have to move in once Ai's forces are drawn out. 5. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city. And it will come about, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we shall flee before them. Remember last time that Israel attacked? Remember what happened? They ran off scared once the soldiers from Ai counterattacked. Well, Joshua says, we're going to make it look as if the same thing is happening this time. We're going to take off running like we're scared. 6. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they are fleeing before. They are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. You know, it was such a complete rout the first time that the army will leave their city without a second thought, and they'll chase after Israel again. Meanwhile, Israel's going to keep running. Oh, they're going to keep running like they're scared in order to draw the soldiers from Ai far enough away from the city so that when the ambush occurs, there's no chance of them turning back in time to save their city. Pretty neat plan, huh? 7. Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. When the ambush sees the Ai soldiers are far enough away, they need to be ready, because it's just about time to enter the city. God uses whatever creativity He gives us when it suits His purpose. And I'd say this is pretty creative. Verse 8, and it will be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you. And Joshua doesn't mean that they must destroy the whole city with fire, because God already told them that they could take whatever they wanted. However, fire did need to be set, and it needed to be big enough to serve as a signal. 9. Joshua, therefore, sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. So Joshua sends his special forces off to hide behind the city. Meanwhile, he stays with the main army in order to lead them into this battle. 10. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning, mustered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. Joshua's always getting up early, it seems. We saw that last time too. And as I said last time, a leader has to be ready before those he leads so that he can help them get ready and get things squared away. There's really no place in the kingdom of God for a lazy leader. 11. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now the valley lay between them and Ai. The main army stations itself right in front of the city. See, they are acting as if they intend to storm straight ahead and take it, like they tried to do last time. 12. So it took about 5,000 men, set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. So the troops are deployed. The main army north of the city and that ambush to the west of the city. Everything's all set. 14. Now it happened, when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. The men of Ai could not wait to get out and fight with Israel again. Oh, they could not wait. At the break of dawn, they move out with all the confidence in the world. 15. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. Joshua and the army take off towards the wilderness, running as if they were a bunch of cowards. Verse 16. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. Well, they really planned on giving Israel a good beating this time. And they all wanted a piece of the action, too. Did you notice every man from the city was ordered to leave and pursue the Israelites? And that is exactly what Joshua hoped they would do. 17. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. They didn't even think about the possibility of an ambush. They left their city totally defenseless. God gives wisdom to those who walk with Him, wisdom that the ungodly are often without. 18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. The city will fall because God promised that it would. Joshua, holding out his javelin, was symbolic that God was fighting for Israel. It was as if Joshua was saying, "Here, Lord, take my weapon. It is your fight, not ours." 19. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it, and hurried to set the city on fire. That stretched out javelin was the sign the ambushers were waiting for. Boy, it was the signal. It was the cue. The ambushers jumped up, took the city, and then they set the signal fire. 20. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw and behold the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. The men of Ai must have thought, "Hey, what's going on here? Why did these Israelite soldiers stop running? You know, we've been chasing them. They've been running away scared. Why did the Israelite army stop? And why did they turn around? And why are they all looking behind us, gazing at our city? What's going on?" And then the soldiers from Ai turned around, and they saw that their city was burning. Now all of a sudden, they're not too confident anymore. And all of a sudden, Israel doesn't look too scared anymore either. 21. Now when Joshua and all the Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Israel is no longer running. They are attacking. That's not the only surprise for the men of Ai. 22. Then the others came out of the city against them. So they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down, so that they let none of them remain or escape. The ambushed soldiers attacked from one side, Joshua and his men attacked from the other side, and the men of Ai are caught in the middle, and Israel cut them down, meaning this was more of a massacre than a fight. 23. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. No survivors among the men of Ai except for the king, who they bring alive to Joshua. 24. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness, where they pursued them, and when they had all fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. The entire population was killed. That means everyone. God is a righteous judge. He passed sentence on that city for their sin, and He commanded Israel to execute that sentence. God means business when He says He will destroy sinners who do not change. As for any who may have died before the age of accountability, well, don't worry about them. They went to paradise. And believe me, they are a lot better off than if they would have grown up in that sinful environment, reached the age of accountability, and died and gone to hell. 25. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. So it wasn't a very big city, only 12,000 in population. 26. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Joshua held up that javelin, which, by the way, was symbolic of prayer. He held that thing up until the job was completely done. Lesson for us. It is very important for us to persevere in prayer and not to quit when you begin to see the answer start to come. Don't quit praying. Very important to pray through to the very end. 27. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. God's commands to Joshua allowed for Israel to take whatever valuables they wanted from the city. The Bible says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. 28. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. It wasn't quite time for Israel to move out of their tents yet, so they burned the city after taking what they wanted. 29. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. That king did not die like a soldier. He was hung like a criminal, which is what he was, a criminal. He broke the law. He broke the laws of God, and as leader, led others to as well. The Bible says that the Lord is known by the judgment he executes. So now we know what God thinks about leaders who promote unrighteousness in their leading. We'll pick up our study in verse 30 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.